Continue reading in the Word of God from the Old Testament, the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 49. We'll read the first 17 verses. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hit me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hit me, and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. That thou mayest say to the prisoners, Go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste, thy destroyers, and they that made thee waste, shall go forth of thee. May God comfort our hearts with that reading of his holy and precious word. Just two reminders. The first is that after the service this morning, we'll meet back in the sanctuary at 11:15. So this is a note to the catechism teachers and family living class. We'll meet back in the main sanctuary here at 11:15 to close out the catechism season. And also visiting hours for Lorena Vanderboon will be tonight from 5 to 8 p.m. That's tonight from 5 to 8 p.m. Tomorrow afternoon from 2 to 5 p.m. It's Monday afternoon, 2 to 5 p.m. And then Tuesday evening from 6 till 8 p.m. Tuesday evening, 6 till 8 p.m. And the funeral will be at 1 p.m. here at the church. The funeral will be here Wednesday, 1 p.m. at the church. Visiting hours will be at Vince Streen Funeral Home on Plainfield. Well, this morning in God's providence, on Mother's Day, we are also called to consider Lord's Day 39. I'd like to do that in conjunction with the passage that we read from Isaiah 49, verses 14 through 17. I'm not going to read those verses at this time. I'm just going to read Lord's Day 39. Question 104, page 75 in the back of the Psalter. What doth God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Beloved, for some of us today, Mother's Day is full of pain and sorrow, particularly for the Vanderboone family. You had anticipated celebrating this day, no doubt, with your mother, and now your mother is no more. It's a sad day. You still hold the memories of your mother dear, what she means to you, what she's done for you. She's poured her life into you. For many who have lost their mothers, not just in this past week, Mother's Day is bittersweet as you recall the memories of your own mother. For some among us, this morning it's a difficult day because you know the pain of childlessness. You long to be a mother. You long to have children saying to you, "Happy Mother's Day, Mom." It's a difficult day for you, and we acknowledge that. Even as you appreciate your own mother, for some among you today, you know the difficulty of mothering your children without your spouse at your side. It's a difficult day. And yet you know the grace of God that bears you up day by day. It's bittersweet, but it's also a day of joy, isn't it? A day of appreciation for the gift of motherhood, for the gift of mothers that God has given to us. Where would we be without our mothers? Where would the church be without mothers to nurture the children, the up-and-coming generation of the church? It's a day of joy, a day of thanksgiving to God and to our own mothers, to our wives as they rear our children in the home, as they spend countless hours raising them, working for them, training them, clothing them, feeding them. In our culture, it's a day of confusion. There are many who misunderstand the role of being a mother. Just reading an Australian newspaper, an opinion piece this past week, and there a woman wrote that all women who have school-aged children should be mandated back to work because they're being unproductive at home. It's better for the economy and society if they're back at work. And on the flip side of that argument, within culture we find this longing on the part of mothers to spend time with their children, but they're being pressured to work in many ways. They want to spend time with their children when they're very young because they recognize that this is a critical age for raising their children. And what does this teach us as we take all of this together? First, it teaches us that there is this innate, this God-given desire in women to nurture children. It's a good thing. It's a healthy thing. It's a God-given thing. Secondly, it teaches us that the role and love of a mother is often misunderstood and it's undervalued, not just in the wider culture outside of these walls, but even within these walls. We begin to ask the question, does my career take precedence over my children? Now, there are times where we need to work outside the home. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the general mindset that begins to creep in where we begin to undervalue and misunderstand the role of a mother. To underappreciate it because of some supposed economic value that will come from a woman working outside the home. Thirdly, the role and love of a mother needs scriptural clarity to give it value and meaning. That's what our text does this morning. That's what our Lord's Day does this morning as well. Because as we read these verses from Isaiah 49, we find that God uses this relationship of a mother with her children. He highly esteems that relationship, so much so that He uses it to compare His own love to this relationship. He uses this as an example for us to understand in some way the depth, the width, and the height of His own love for sinners. So here we have in this relationship of a mother with her child, a divine picture, as it were, of God's love for sinners. And if this is how God esteems the relationship of a mother, the love of a mother, the role of a mother, surely we can spend some attention on that this morning. It's one of the most powerful relationships in the world. Human relationships. The Lord draws this picture for the children of Israel as they're in exile. An image that we can easily relate to, a mother and her sucking child. Who hasn't seen that picture? A picture that evokes thoughts of tenderness, thoughts of compassion, thoughts of love and commitment. That's exactly what God is showing in this picture. In verse 15, can a woman forget her sucking child? Here's this picture of persevering commitment on the part of a mother for her child. Can a mother forget her sucking child? Now, this question, of course, demands the answer, of course not. Mothers, would you intentionally forget your child? The child upon your breast, the child that you feed, the child that you care for, will you forget that child? The child that relies and is entirely dependent upon you, will you forget that child? Absolutely not. You are committed to this care of this little child. The child cries. You immediately go and care for this child. You feed, you hold, you comfort. As your children grow older, you hold them differently. You hold them in your hands to the Heavenly Father. But your persevering commitment does not swerve. It continues, doesn't it? Children and young people and adults, your mother showed you that love, that persevering commitment. Sure, she did it with sin mixed in. Think back for a moment. How did your mother show you persevering commitment? With all her faults and flaws, she cares for you. She loses sleep over you. Not only when you're little, but even when you're married and gone. She sacrifices for you. She prays for you. She weeps for you when you sin. She's committed to your care physically and spiritually. God is showing the goodness of this relationship, of this persevering commitment of a mother to her children. The Lord shows the powerful compassion of a mother's love. Can a mother forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Can you leave your child in the crib when it's crying? When you hear its pitiful wail, when it's hungry, can you just leave it there and let it fend for itself? Of course not. You show compassion. You pick up that child. When your child falls on the street, do you leave them there? No, you go and you pick them up. You bandage their wounds. You hold them tenderly. You kiss them. You hug them. You love them. You show compassion to them. Who is it that shows up on your doorstep when you're in need? Even when you're older and married and gone? Isn't it your mother? Who knows the trouble you're going through, and she's there, she's moved with compassion, and she's there to help. God is showing the goodness of this mother-child bond, this powerful, powerful compassion that moves a mother to care for her child, no matter how young or old they are. He shows the goodness. But he also shows the limitations, doesn't he? Because despite this powerful bond of a mother's love for her child, the Lord shows the limitations that a mother's love has. There can be potential carelessness on the part of the mother, where she no longer cares for her child. A mother-child relationship is limited. It's limited when death enters that relationship and tears it apart. We know that pain this week, don't we? The Lord took a mother away from us. That bond is broken by death, though the memories continue. But God is speaking here more than just that relationship being broken by death. He's speaking here of potential, of purposeful forgetfulness, of intentionally forgetting your child. How many mothers haven't forgotten their children at the abortion clinic? For the sake of convenience. The bond broken. The bond showing its limitations. In the past few weeks, as we spent those weeks at the hospital, there are mothers who forget their children at the hospital. Because to them, their children are no longer perfect. They have needs that they feel they can't care for. This contrast is seared into my mind as I walked into the hospital day after day. The room where my wife sat, she barely left the side of our little boy. But in the room next to us, there was no mother. I think twice I saw a grandmother. And for the rest, the nurses adopted this child as their own because the mother forgot the child at the hospital. There's a limitation to this mother-child relationship. They may forget, God says. But this is not the way He designed it. A mother's love for her child is something to be valued and honored. That's where the fifth commandment takes us, even as God shows us the goodness and the limitation of this relationship. But if God uses this as a point of comparison to describe His own love for sinners, surely We need to honor this relationship as well, not just because it's Mother's Day, but because God requires it in His commandments. Honor your father and your mother. Children, how do you honor your mother's love? How do you honor your mother today and beyond today? Well, the word honor means to give weight to something. To assign it some sort of value. So the question is this, what does your mother's love mean to you this morning? What does your mother mean to you? This God-given gift in your life that you take for granted. You wake up in the morning, your mom is there. You go to school and your lunch is packed. You come home and your laundry is neatly folded and in your drawers. There's supper on the table. Your mother's there to comfort you, to listen to you as you get off the bus. What does that mean to you? Is it something you take for granted? Something that's just there because it's something you're used to? This morning you're called to value it very highly. To recognize that your mother's love for you comes at a great expense to her. It means that you don't just give her a day off today on Mother's Day and say, Mom, this is a special day for you, so I'm going to do things for you today. It means that your response to her love is payment for all that she does on your behalf. So when today passes and tomorrow comes and your mom tells you to do something, do you grumble and complain and say, oh, do I really have to do that? Or do you wait an hour before doing it? No, your response to this gift from God in your life, in your mother, is you obey her immediately. When your mom warns you and points out your sin, what do you do? Do you get angry? You stomp off to your room and ignore your mom? Or do you bow the knee before God and honor your mother and her warnings and cry out for forgiveness and confess your sin to God? As you come home off the bus, as you spend day in and day out in your family home, do you value your mother's love and tell her so? Not just in your actions, but also in your words. Words are also important. They will encourage your mom. Tell her you love her and you appreciate what she does. Put a spring in her step and joy in her eyes to know that she's caring for a child who appreciates her. Our Lord's Day says that God has placed your mother over you. God rules you through your mother. And so when you submit to your mom, when you honor your mom, you honor God at the same time. That's important to understand. When you honor your mother, you honor God. Because there's this pyramid of relationship, isn't there? There's God above everything. Then there's your father and your mother. And then there's all those other people who are in authority over you in society. So when we honor that authority, we honor God. When we don't honor it, we don't honor God. Maybe some of you are saying, well, that's well and good for children. How do I honor my mother as an adult? We bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, the Lord's Day tells us. As we go off and are married and raise our own families, there's often differences, isn't there? We do things a bit differently, and our mom comes and tells us that they did it this way. We honor them. We take their advice. We listen to them. implement what is good and useful. As your mother ages, she may not be able to care for herself. That means putting up with her physical weakness and infirmities as well. To do the utmost within your means and strength to care for her and nurture her. When our culture increasingly kicks the elderly to the curb of life, we who have been transformed by the love of God, by the gospel, ought to know the value of human life. To care for our aging mother as much as in us lies. This is our duty under the fifth commandment. There will come a time where that care that we give them is beyond our ability, beyond the gifts, beyond the resources maybe even that we have. We'll require taking steps to put them in a place where they can receive the care that they need that we can't give. But we honor them by visiting them, by praying with them and for them, by reading Scripture, by encouraging your mother. In a sense, the role reverses, doesn't it? When you were a child, your mother cared for you. She prayed for you. She prayed with you. She encouraged you. But when she gets older and unable to care for herself, the role is reversed. And you, as an adult child, are called to care for her. Surely that's not beyond your gifts and abilities, is it? There's also a role for fathers this morning in honoring the mother of your children. Honoring that powerful bond of love that God describes so vividly in this verse 15. Fathers, you are called to nurture the mother of your children. You're called to nurture her spiritually, physically, and emotionally. Motherhood is taxing. It's taxing when children rebel. Encourage your mother, the mother of your children, in the promises of the Lord. Take this promise from verse 17, thy children shall make haste. You pray over that promise together. You take that promise back to the Lord for your children. You encourage the mother of your children. You encourage her physically. Help her with the daily tasks around the home. Don't make this division of labor so clear that you can't bridge that division by helping her, by setting the table, by changing a diaper, by vacuuming or cleaning a bathroom, whatever it is. Lead by example. Lead your children in showing appreciation for what she does by making her burden just a bit lighter. Encourage the mother of your children emotionally. There'll be times when you come home and she's spent. All she's done that day is talk to children. Now it's time for you to sit down with her and have some adult conversation. Listen, watch, and minister. Honor the mother of your children by seeing her infinite value to the home, to your life, the lives of your children. So God sets out for us this beautiful relationship. He calls us to honor it, but we don't end there this morning, do we? Because this relationship that God shows us is just a picture. To get us to move beyond this relationship to His love and to see His love for sinners, for His people. That's the main lesson this morning. We don't end in our mother's love, but we end in God's love, even as it's pictured in the love of a mother for her children. The point of this passage is not just to teach us about this relationship between a mother and a child. But it's to get us to understand and to rest in the all-surpassing love of God. It's meant to elevate our thinking, to elevate our understanding, to elevate our submission to the love of God. It's in the back of this relationship of a mother and a child is God, as our Lord's Day says. It's God and His unfailing love for His people that makes a mother's love most tender and more compassionate than it could be. And all of this takes place within the context of Israel complaining that God had forsaken them. Verse 14, they said, "The Lord hath forsaken me, my Lord hath forgotten me." They're accusing God in a sense, they're challenging Him, saying God has intentionally forgotten me, forgotten us. God answers the complaint of His people with this picture. Can a mother forget her child? Can a mother not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, but I will not forget thee. It is not possible that God can forget His people. We are reminded here of God's unfailing memory. He cannot get His people out of His mind. I will not forget thee. God's memory is unfailing when it comes to the people that He has chosen for Himself. For a believer this morning, your experience sometimes tells you that God has forgotten you. You're walking through this world as a pilgrim and darkness, the clouds of providence, cross providence settle down on you and there's darkness all around and death. You go through trials, you go through sickness in the family. Maybe there is spiritual depression that will not lift, a sin that plagues your memory. The conclusion you are tempted to make is this: God has forgotten me. But let these words this morning assure you that God never forgets His own. What a comfort that is. It's a comfort for the Vanderbone family. That God has not forgotten you in the midst of death this week. I will not forget thee, He says. In the midst of your loss, you might be tempted to say that God has forgotten you. But these are the words He says. Surely, I will not forget you. His memory is unfailing. Don't let circumstances and emotions dictate to you that which is contrary to fact. Let the Word of God refresh your perspective. God will not forget those whom He has purchased through the blood of His Son, through the work of His servant, as it's portrayed for us in the verses before these that we're considering. A mother's love is powerful and persevering, but God's love has an unfailing memory. As dark as your way might seem this morning, beloved, it's God who says to you, I will not forget you. His memory is unfailing. We're reminded of God's unfailing care. Even during the sense of feeling forsaken and forgotten, the covenant Lord assures His own children of His committed and persevering care for them. Listen how He describes it. There's something He wants them to know. Emphatically, He states, "Behold, look here, understand this for a moment. Your circumstances are dictating to you that I have forgotten you, but listen and look. Behold, I have graven you upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." He restates His commitment emphatically. He restates His care for His children. The picture here is a powerful one, indicating that His children cannot be erased from His care. They cannot be taken out of His hand through the buffetings of Satan. They cannot be dislodged from their place in Christ because they are etched there forever. We might say in the blood of Christ, etched in the hands of the Father. The names of His people written. As He works with His fatherly hand in providence, what does He see? He sees the names of His children. Children, sometimes you're at school and your teacher tells you to remember something. What do? Sometimes you write it on your hand in ink, don't you? When you come home, you're playing, you look, you're waving your hands and you see this ink on your hands and you remember. This is what I had to do when I got home. And you quickly go and do it. That ink will wash off eventually. The picture here is similar. Except that God has permanently etched and engraved the names of His children in His own hands. What a comfort that is. He says, "Thy walls are continually before me." You know, Israel was in exile. The memory of Judah, the cities of Judah and the cities of Israel are fresh in their minds. What is that memory? What is the memory of the temple that they have? Broken down walls and rubble and stone. Nothing. No walls whatsoever. Here God says, "Thy walls are before me." He's going to rebuild what was broken down. That physical picture points us to the spiritual reality of the work of the servant of Christ Himself as He comes. Through the plan of redemption of the Father, and He sees what He will build from the ashes of sin. His care is unfailing. He will clear the rubble. He will smooth the ground by His gracious Spirit. He will rebuild what was broken down through sin. Both individuals and the glorious body of Christ, He will build stone upon stone until there is nothing left except the walls that He had in His blueprint of redemption. Don't despair. You may feel broken down this morning. But be assured, God has the blueprint. He is the master architect. He is the master builder. He takes the chisel and the hammer of providence and He's setting to work to fit you for the heavenly Jerusalem. You look at your life. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never repented at all. You're struggling through life on your own. You say, "I'm not here. But I do know that my life is one of brokenness. My life is one of rubble and destruction." Let me say it this way, it's a good beginning. Bring that destruction to the Savior. He can restore. He can build up what you don't see now. He is gracious. He is powerful. He sees what you don't see. For the believer, that's tremendously encouraging and comforting this morning. When circumstances dictate otherwise, let these words convince you. Look here. I've etched you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are always before me, continually. Not a moment that the blueprint passes from the Father's eyes, but He's at work. We can confess with the words of Augustus Toplady, "My name from the palms of his hands eternity will not erase. Impressed on his heart it remains in marks of indelible grace. Yes, I to the end shall endure as sure as the earnest is given. More happy, but not more secured, the glorified spirits in heaven." Yes, a mother can show the most intimate care and concern for her children. She can have the highest hopes and dreams for her children, but her blueprint is subservient to the blueprint of the Father. The love of God surpasses even that of a mother, because He will bring to pass the plans that He has for His people, for His glory. Because of His unfailing memory and unfailing care, we are reminded of God's unfailing success. Verse 17 highlights that success. "Thy children shall make haste. Thy destroyers and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee." What a promise to the Israelites. There would be revival, not just of the walls of Jerusalem, not just of the temple. God is speaking here of a revival and a restoration of a remnant. There would be another generation to serve the Lord. There would be spiritual fruit upon the work of the servant who would come as the redeemer of sinners. He would draw from Israel and from the Gentiles a spiritual seed, a remnant to serve the Lord. He's so successful, in fact, that His children will make haste. They're not long in coming. Here's a promise. In the middle of death and destruction, don't despair. Don't despair. The Lord will see to it that He is successful. Spiritual success is not up to us. If we could, we would save our children. We do bring them the gospel. We're called to be faithful in that. But God will see to the fruit. His children will make haste. No, He says, "Thy children, your children." The destroyers of the work of God will be put out of the city and the land. Those who seek to harm and destroy will be no more. We look at our parenting. We say, "I failed. I failed my children. My children will fail." They're prodigals. There's no hope for them. We protect them as much as we can. We don't want any harmful influences near our children. A godly mother's love fiercely protects her children from deadly influences. She yearns for success for her children, material, vocational, and spiritual success, but these things are ultimately not in her hands, even though she does everything possible within her power. Is that you this morning, mother? You've done everything you could. You grieve for prodigals. Maybe you're a young mother and you fear for your children. Don't despair. Don't despair. Take the burden of your children and cast them upon the promise. Roll and lean, if I can remind you. bring this promise back to God. You can say, Lord, it says here, my children shall make haste. The destroyers and they that made waste shall be taken away. Lord, make this promise true for my children. Cling to this promise because God has made that promise. He is faithful. He is successful. Pray that they would make haste as part of this promise. Pray that the destroyer would not have a hold of them. Because as strong as your love is, as protective as it is, God's love is still more powerful, still more protective, and far more successful than your love. He's able to save to the uttermost. He knows the children that are prodigals. Those who have blatantly turned their backs on the truth. But He also knows the children that are Pharisees that put a good facade on and cover the rottenness of their heart with religion. He's able to bring genuine life to both. That's what this promise tells us. Some of you have wept long for your children. Here is a promise to send back to heaven. Let my children make haste to you, O God, according to your covenant. Because what we have here, these words, come from the mouth of the covenant Lord, who has made covenant with Israel, who has made covenant with us and with our children, who in a sense renews His covenant commitment to Israel and to us this morning in these words. It's only the unbreakable and unfailing love of God that will save you and your children, that will save them from the destroyer, that will save them from their own sin. Children and young people, and older ones who do not know the love of God. Your mother's love is strong and compassionate and must be honored. But don't end there this morning. Because the only way you can truly honor your mother is when you honor God. The only way you can truly love your mother is when you love God and have received His love in your heart. As you honor your mother this morning, let her love and the picture of that this morning take you to the all-surpassing love of God. It's a successful love that is able to save you if you do not know Him this morning. This is what you need. You know, and you need it not just once, but day in and day out. That's true for all believers, isn't it? We need this love of God to guard us and to protect us and to encourage us. And here He tells us, your mother loves you, but I love you even better and even more than your mother loves you. He delights to save, to care for, to remember sinners like you. The Apostle John was the apostle of love. We'll hear more about that, Lord willing, tonight. But he described the love of God this way. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Just like Isaiah said, look here to the love of God. The Apostle John says, look here to this out of this world kind of love. That not even this relationship of a mother and a child can come close to. We sang it, didn't we? Though a mother's love shall break, God will be my friend. That's what He's declaring this morning to sinners. He's willing to be your friend.
He's willing to be your God who loves you enough to take you from the wreckage of sin to rebuild something beautiful and glorious to bring honor and glory to Him. Don't rest short of that love this morning, which has been revealed in the cross of Christ and His own Son. He said, "For God so loved the world." You want to know the measure of the love of God? It's shown in Christ going the way of the cross. The greatest expression you'll ever find of love. The love of God is far greater still than what you or I could ever tell. Behold. Behold the love of God, which far surpasses the love of a mother, as good and as beautiful as that is. Don't rest short of the love of God. Because if you do, you stand exposed to the wrath and judgment of God, because you refused. You refused the overtures of His love. Once more, He declares to each of us this morning, "I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely." Amen. What a gospel we have, O Lord. A gospel that declares the height and the depth and the riches of the love of God. That nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Not famine, not sword, not sickness, not death. Death separates us from a mother's love. And reduces it to a memory. But Thy love carries believers through death into the full experience of that love in heaven. Heaven, which is a world of love. How we long for that in a world that is so full of hatred and envy and strife. A world that says it is a dog-eat-dog world that shows no compassion for others. A world that is in the grips of the destroyer, who seeks to destroy marriages, who seeks to destroy families, who seeks to destroy this beautiful relationship of a mother with her children, who seeks to keep sinners even this morning from enjoying the love of God in Christ Jesus. We've heard of Thy love, of Thy commitment, of Thy care. Help us to honor Thee this morning by submitting to that love and to that care. For in that love we have life. In that love we make sense. The things we experience in this life, whether it be death, whether it be sickness, whether it be terminal illness, whether it be caring for children with special needs, whether it be whatever discouragement we face, we can make sense of it. Because we know that the blueprint is in Your hands. We know that the blueprint is being made according to Thy sovereign grace. The names of Thy own are etched forever in Thy hands, and Thou wilt not forget us. Thy love instills confidence in Thy people. So may we live out of that love, even as we enjoy the gift of a mother's love today. Go with us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.